from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, beautiful bakers, beautifully baked listeners even, anybody, people who love alliteration and people who loathe alliteration. I'm sure there are people, you say alliteration, I could do without it. That would take me, I'd say, I could try to think of an alliterative way to say that, slowly, but it would take forever. Alliteration, I loathe it. That's almost alliterative, but that's not saying I could do without it. That's different. But whatever your feelings, I mean, for me, I may not even know the correct definition of alliteration. Enlighten me on lightning and alliteration, the podcast, they had one episode where it was the definition of alliteration, but we had to take it down because we quoted it directly from a dictionary. And turned out like we weren't enlightened on alliteration. Light on alliteration, that is not Great British Bake Off. Well, by the way, welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. If you're confused, I don't blame you because I went way off topic. This is a podcast that's here to keep you company in the deep, dark night. A podcast that's optional to listen to and that there's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. To be a rambling friend, I'll be talking about the Great British Bake Off later. But first, I want you to know you deserve a good night's sleep. Even if you never listen to this podcast again, I don't want you to forget that. You deserve a bedtime you don't need to dread. You deserve enough sleep so your life is more manageable. If you're looking for something else other than the show, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. It has other sleepy stuff and sleep podcasts on there. But yeah, this show's here to take your mind off stuff, keep you company. We'll have structurally what to expect. There'll be some support. That's how the show's free and twice a week whenever you need it. Plus over 500 plus episodes you can access. You know, because as you become a regular listener, you say, well, I prefer this episode over this episode. Then there'll be a long meandering intro. That's to ease you into bedtime. You could fall asleep during it. You could be getting ready for bed during it, getting comfortable. But that's meant to ease you into bedtime. Then there'll be a recap of an episode of the Great British Bake Off. And that's it. I'm so glad you're here. Give the show a few tries. That's what most regular listeners say, because it is different and strange in a good way. If it works for you, you're like, I didn't know I was looking for this. But it turns out I was. But I'm glad you're here. Appreciate you coming by. And these are the ways we're able to do it for you free twice a week. All right, everybody, this is Scoots here, and this is where I kind of talk about support for the show. You've probably been hearing me. But here's the thing. I'm only trying to get this message out to 1 out of 100 people. Like, if you're that 1 out of 100 people, you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. You get a lot out of the show. You listen to it on a regular basis. It makes your life better. That's 100 people, right? 100 regular listeners. I need one of you. Are you that one person who's willing to support the show right now? Go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus or set an alarm or a reminder right now to do it tomorrow. I don't know. Are you that? Think about it, if you're that one person or not. And then if you are, I'm going to pause for a second and give you a second to do one of those three things. Because if you're that one person who's going to take action, you have the power to change the trajectory of the show, like the future of Sleep With Me in 2025 for you and 99 other people. It's kind of like you're getting insurance for your sleep and your, you know, peace of mind at bedtime. You're supporting your boyfriend, but you're also supporting it for the other 99 people. So you might support the show for that if you're that one person. You might be that one person who wants more. You want all intro episodes. You want all night episodes. You want cool bonus episodes. You want ad-free episodes. But I hope you're that one person out of 99. If there's 99 people that are like, no way, not interested, somebody else will do it, that's fine. I just need one person. So are you that one person who's willing to support the show? If you are, right now or tomorrow, send a reminder and go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you're not in a position to support the show, don't worry about it. I'm on it. Your boyfriend is working on it. And we're here to keep you company and put you to sleep. And thank you so much for counting on us to do that for you on a regular basis. Thanks and good night. Support for Sleep and Me comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is a lot of things. Odoo is award-winning management software. Odoo is total control of your entire company in one place. Odoo is a suite of fully integrated applications for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. Basically, Odoo is what your business needs to succeed. So if you're ready to get more done in less time, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, business management made simple. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. It is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. This is one part of the podcast, and we need you to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who supported our sponsors, because I know so many of you get so much out of this ad-supported feed that is free to everybody. So you might want to do two, like a finger clap along, since you're maybe already in bed or winding down. And I want to thank Daryl. Daryl got those Sleep With Me branded sleep phones by using the code sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones and using Sleep With Me at check out. And I don't know which ones Daryl got, but I know Daryl was excited about having that Sleep With Me merch, that Sleep With Me swag, and the most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me, whichever version you get. So thank you, Daryl. All right, if you want to be on, if you want to hear, would you love to hear your name here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone? Support a sponsor, take a free trial, take that Helix quiz, and then let the sponsor know about it. Tag them, tag me on social media is the best way, because then they say, wow, people really love this podcast. We really do get a lot out of supporting Sleep With Me. It is important to people. That's what your action does. And then they stick around and everybody gets to benefit by you. That's why I take the time to thank people and I do it in an excited way so I can be here for you for free. So yeah, tag the sponsor, tag me, fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thanks, everybody. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. There's links to resources, including international resources that you could connect with, including right now. It's also about being a part of a community, being a part of positive change. It's not just saying Black Lives Matter. It's not just saying stop AAPA. It's not just saying support Ukraine. It's taking action, learning more, and then taking action. And you, if you listen to these, you know, I heard about Hand in Hand from RBG. It was one of her favorite charities. And it's never been a more important time to support organizations like Hand in Hand right now.
You know, it started with only 50 children in 1998, and Hand in Hand now has six campuses and thousands of Jewish and Arab students. And Hand in Hand's motto is, partnership is the only way forward. Together we learn, together we hurt, together we support. And you could support Hand in Hand. You could use the link in our resources or go to handinhandk12.org to support the work they're doing. Because if you're listening to this, you know how important that work is. Also, there's other organizations we're supporting in our show notes. So use those links. And be a part of. Let me know about it. Thank you so much. Mystery Bard, a lot of people work really hard on this show. Who are they?
This posty poster song sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. Don't forget, we've launched Sleep With Me Plus by the time you're hearing this. And if you're not in a position to support the show and you don't want to miss out on Sleep With Me Plus and all it has to offer, sign up for our referral program. And as you refer people to the program, you could get access to Sleep With Me Plus to ad-free episodes and story-only episodes. And you could do that at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. That's R-E-F-E-R. sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer or use the link in our show notes. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show?
Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. And we'll do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts about the past, present, the future. Thinking stuff, thoughts that are just there. Thoughts about the pesky pole, which is, turns out, listener, let me know about that. That's Johnny Pesky at Fenway Park or something. It's named after Johnny. It's not at Pesky Park. It doesn't have to do with the Penske file. It's at Fenway Park, and it's named after Johnny Pesky. But it could be thoughts. It could be feelings. Feelings related to those thoughts, or feelings that are just there. Feelings of anticipation, or feelings. They can be there. Holy cow, can they? Oh boy, are they! Feelings. Tough to put them into words, but they're there. We know, you know them, or you don't know them, and then you have feelings about that. See, I don't even know, feelings could be physical sensations, anything you're experiencing physically or coming up for you. It could be travel. That's a big one. So if you're traveling, you know what, travelers, or road woers, like there's another word for it, but I'd say, people who are experiencing the woes of the road. But there's highs too, and there's lows, and there's woes. And people on the second shift, the third shift, and as many as other shifts I've invented, which people said, that's what kind of gets confused. I said, we can't give a shout out to the fifth shift. They say, well, can we go through it with you again, Scoots? There's 24 hours in a day. And I'd say, okay, so does that mean, there can't be 20, could there be 12 shifts, though? Or there could be 24 shifts. And they say, well, that's a different start time. And I say, okay, it sounds like you're really exasperated. Maybe I could just talk to you about, could we agree that, I'm just blue sky. I'm just blue skying this. It's not a, These aren't proposals for shift changes, even though I'm naming them. Oh boy, people working that 8 shift. And I'd say, yeah, probably it'd be harder. I'd say people in the middle shifts, if there were 24 shifts or 12 shifts, I get it. There would still be, like, if you were on the first shift or the 12th shift, you'd say, well, we're relatable. But I guess, like, you'd say, we could be in a relationship, I guess. Or even an 11th shifter and a second shifter. But, you know, then if you're a 6th shift, that's going to be tougher because that's a different schedule. Is that what the song 24, wasn't there? Oh, no, that was the song Sunshine 24 Hours a Day or something. I don't know what that song was. Was there a movie called Johnny Hollywood? Was that from Doc Hollywood? I don't think it was. But so where was it? Oh, whatever's keeping you awake, I'm here to help. The reason I bring up whatever's keeping you awake is to let you know you're not alone. And to let you know, however you're feeling, whatever you're dealing with, there's someone out there, maybe it's me, maybe it's not, that can relate to what you're going through, at least how it feels, if not somebody listening right now that's experienced what you're going through, or whatever's keeping you awake. So I just want you to know that. That's why I share it, to say, hey, you're not alone. We're here. There's other people here listening. And you're important. I mean, that's the main thing about the show. A lot of us can relate to how it feels. And a lot of people can relate to how it feels when, and I guess I can too, because I get so many emails about people's first time listening and their strong feelings about it. So I can relate to how it feels when you first listen to the show and you're not sure if it's going to work for you, or you're not sure you like it, or you're skeptical, or you're doubtful, or you're frustrated. I understand that too. I can relate. And a lot of other people can too. That's why the biggest piece of advice for the show, other than, hey, I didn't even know this would work for me, but it did, give it a try, is give it a few tries and see how it goes. But I just want you to know, you deserve a good night's sleep. That's why I make the show. You deserve a bedtime you don't have to dread, a bedtime you could look forward to, so your life is more manageable, so you could get the sleep you need. And you could be out there flourishing. That means the world's a better place to be in. If you're flourishing, it's good for everybody. So there's that. What else do you need to know? If you're flourishing, the bedtime you don't need to dread. A couple things that throw people off, or a bunch of things. I already said a few of them. Oh, the way the podcast works is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. I'm going to repeat myself. Then I'm going to double back. Then I'll get lost. I turn around and then I say, where am I? What was I talking about? So that's pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. This is a podcast you don't really listen to. You could listen, but you don't need to listen. It's here to keep you company, because you can kind of decide. I mean, that's the nice thing about a podcast, is you could be listening under your pillow. You could have a set of sleep phones on, or you could have the phone across the room or on a smart speaker, or create a feel where it's like a TV in another room, or it could be like a roommate talking to you, like a friend. But it's a friend that you say, hey, talk to me for a while, but I'm not going to really pay close attention to what you're saying. No offense. I want you to talk to me so I can fall asleep. So that's part of it. It's a podcast you don't listen to. It's also a podcast that doesn't put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. There's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for over an hour to keep you company, and you can just drift off. Now, if you need to listen, or you can't sleep, or you need a break during the day, I'm here to keep you company either way. And that's really what works, is I'm your on-call friend in the deep, dark night. So podcasts you don't really listen to, it doesn't put you to sleep, but tell me more good news. Okay, structure the show. Structure the show is very deliberate. To kind of help make the podcast work for as many people as it can, and it is adjustable. So let me just tell you why the show's structured the way it is. And then you could say, if like listen a few times and then adjust from there. So the show, it comes out twice a week. That way, that's the frequency I found, so that you can kind of, and there's over 500 episodes. So you have plenty of stuff to fall asleep to or to choose from. And what else? It's over an hour. So you don't have to think, what if the podcast is over? before I fall asleep. You say, oh, it's over an hour, so I got plenty of time, no pressure. And there's plenty of other episodes. So the show also starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So you feel seen and welcome. You say, oh, I could check that out maybe. So that's one thing. Then there's support. So the show could be free because not everybody's in a position to support the show or pay for it. But if you don't want to listen to support and you're a regular listener, you can also pay not to have ads. But the ads are what make it free for whoever wants to listen whenever they want to listen. And the people that support the sponsors. Then there's an intro, which is separate from the sponsor stuff, which is a show within a show. And for some reason, when you're new and you don't like the sponsor stuff, for some reason, they lump in the intro. Everything gets lumped together, which I guess I understand if you're frustrated. But I just want, I don't want people missing out on the intro because it, for regular listeners, it's other than the regular listeners that know they don't listen to the intro, for regular a lot of regular listeners, the intro is an important part of the show. One, it introduces to the podcast new people in an ineffective way or in an inefficient way, which is part of the process of the show. But the intro is like around 10 to 15 to 20 minutes long because it's part of like a lot of people's wind down. It's a transition to bedtime. So you could be getting ready for bed. You could be doing some other wind down, chill activity, even if it's just laying on the floor or in your bed getting comfortable or drifting off. But you could be drawing or knitting, foam rolling, or just brushing your teeth and that kind of stuff. So the intro is a transition time, and that's really one of the important things I've learned doing the show, because the intro used to be a lot shorter. And based on feedback and just reading what works and then trying to, you know, deal with my own sleep stuff, is having a wind down really helps get us in the mood for bedtime. So that's the intro. Then there's support between the intro and the show. Then we'll talk about Great British Bake Off Baking Show, the Great British Baking Show or the Great British Bake Off, depending on where the world you are. And then we'll have some thank yous at the end. So it's the structure of the show. That's why I make the show, is because you deserve a good night's sleep and just see how it goes. I'm so glad you're here. I really appreciate you coming by and checking this podcast out. I work really hard. I yearn and I strive, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, Bakers, we're back here and covering Collection 7, Episode 2, Biscuits Week with the Great British Baking Bake Off Baking Show. It opens with Biscuits Jenga. Glue is the spoiler alert. It's glue. It's Noel and Sandy playing Biscuit Jenga. Sandy's tower goes down. Noel's kicking back. Noel's got a 5 o'clock shadow even. Boots. They both have fabulous sweaters this episode. And he tells her, don't worry, you'll get there, Sandy. It's a steady hand. And then she realizes this is glued together. And she says, run. She throws his biscuit Jenga at him. He dances out of the way. And then we get our opening sequence. So first, everybody's walking towards the tent, talking heads about nerves. Michael's talking. Alice is talking about some dreams she had last night. Biscuit stress. I've heard of flop sweat. I never heard of biscuit sweat, but I believe it. Phil, Jamie talk a bit. I'm still learning the characters' names or the people, human beings. I just noticed the color of Phil's shirt. We'll return to that. But yeah, it's time for chocolate biscuit bars. 12 decorated chocolate biscuit bars. One biscuit element coated in chocolate, beautifully decorated. Show off your personalities here, okay? In biscuit form. Not just in biscuit form. Biscuits with chocolate coats on. So they're cracking everybody up. 2.5 hours on your mark, get set, bake. Let's see. Jamie talked about practice. Phil talked about his wife is a biscuit freak. Rosie makes big biscuits. She makes dog biscuits. I looked at because she's a vet, you know. Paul says how adding chocolate's going to make this a tougher challenge because he wants to taste the biscuit and not just the chocolate. Snap, crumbly, and Prue is the yellow. Okay, let me pause it. The next time, now Paul's back talking, so I got to rewind. So Prue is in a coat that is a color of yellow. That is like the most perfect, it's like a color of yellow that's not too bright, but it's just fabulous. It's not mustard colored, but it's not a popping yellow. I mean, I don't know if it's a lemony. And then she has on, is that an infinity scarf? But a scarf, with blues, purples, and then a little bit of yellow. But the blues and the purples complement, and then then she has glasses that are a different purple, and neon kind of orange earrings. They're just a tiny dot circle. I don't know. That is holy cow. Whether Prue works with somebody, probably they work together. I mean, everything on here, but I mean, that's like baking, you know? Okay, she wants it, Prue says it's got to be perfect now, and then Paul talks about timing, baking the biscuit, preparing the filling, cooling before you put the chocolate on. Don't want it to collapse, timing and cooling, chocolate coats. Henry's dressed to the nines. They say, you look like an American schoolboy. He has a tie, a sweater, and a dress shirt on. Hazelnut shortbread, though. Coffee and cardamom mousse. Oh, boy. Hazelnut caramel. Sounds incredible and difficult. I hope it tastes lovely. They show Henry studying. He pays for school by playing the organ at his church. So, and that comes in later, this episode, actually. His biscuits do look delicious. Sounds wonderful. Oh, there's popping candy in there too. Sophisticated toddler or something. They're all laughing about that. Sophistication is also Steph's aim. But her key flavor is not for toddlers. Coffee. And Steph loves Chester's Cafe culture with her mom, Jane. Chocolate caramel macchiato biscuit bars. That also sounds really good. Oh, she used semolina to make it a little bit of a, more of a shortbread with a crunch. We got, who is this, Henry with Michael. No, Michael's using his grandma, great-granny's Perthshire. When he visits his parents, they check out the family cookbook, but that's not their only pastime. Then they're playing music together, the three of them. Lemon Rosemary Biscuit Bars. He was playing piano. His mom was playing the cello. His dad was playing the violin, maybe. I can't remember already. But, yeah, what else we got here? Scottish shortbread based on a gin that he likes. And we have Rosie Mojitos. Now, Rosie's a vet, so we see her at work. Busman's Holiday, she talks about. Virgin Mojito Biscuit Bar, Mint Marshmallow. So we're getting a lot of good. Then she talks about a horse with tears, how she helped the horse. Jamie's making millionaire shortbread, but a bit different, you know, because it's too sweet. Sour cherry to give it some sharpness. Jamie's jams when he's a barman, but he also jams with his twin Alex. So they love rocking out. I mean, I'm assuming. Cherry caramel shortbread biscuit bar. He said they did break during practice, but he thinks they'll hold together. Very crumbly, I guess, when you're making these shortbread biscuits. Amelia's adding ground pistachios, a crumbly biscuit. They do like a sequence of everybody mixing stuff, putting their flavors in. And some rolling, like a little bit of rolling and mixing sequence. Then we go to Helena, matcha. She's making fingers, Lady Witchbeard fingers. You say, holy cow, really? She likes making jewelry. Used to be a professional poker player. Then she's playing cards with her family, I'm assuming. Green-colored, generous, authentic crunch with almonds for fingernails, I think. And they said, you're really putting your personality into it, all over it. And then Noel makes more jokes about, what are the other ingredients? Now, Michelle, something more traditional. Chai Bakewell bar, Sherry Bakewell. Huge rugby fan. When her son's man of the match is Alfie, her son. So Bakewell bars, white chocolate, almond marshmallow, some raspberry. So those look pretty good, too. Then Alice is a New Zealand influence. Favorite place in the world for Alice. Amazing chocolate biscuits and sweets. So she's making a peanut slab, mallow puff, hokey pokey, and honeycomb. She likes hitting the high seas in her spare time. She's in the Royal Navy Combined Cadet Force. So it's a honeycomb peanut mallow bar. And they show her in her uniform, but that really sounds delicious. I wonder if it's the same Malabar, honeycomb base. Baking the biscuits. Alice puts hers in the oven, forgot to turn her oven on. And they're halfway through, so it's, she has to wait for her oven to heat up. So that's a little stressful. Sandy's using a rolling pin on Noel, like massage. We do an into the oven sequence, timer sequence, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 169 minutes, half an hour in. Let's see where we're at. Hard to know. With the green Lady Witchbeard ones, it's hard to know if they're done, Helena says. Alice gets hers in the oven, starts making marshmallow. Phil's making fudge. Somebody's got jelly. Rosie's got a nice blue sweater on. Henry's sweater's nice too. Nice sweaters all around. Henry's worried about stuff setting in time. And yeah, everybody's working hard here. Toasting the pistachios. Can't put cold nuts in, David says. He's making his with a nougat. Toasted nuts and nougat. He's an international health advisor. Him and his boyfriend Nick went for a run. Then they're having some baked goods. Cocoa nutty chocolate bars with nougat in the middle. He's putting coconut drops in like simple syrup, maybe? I don't know. Amelia's using a rosehip syrup, but you can't make it too pungent. Got to be careful. She goes to Turkey a lot for work. They have nougat with the pistachio. And her mom gave her the rose water idea. What does she think? She says it works well. When she's not jetting off for work, though, she's a fashion designer, does a kickabout with friends. They're playing foosball. I don't know if a kickabout is hanging out with your friends or playing foosball. Turkish nougat inspired. Hers come out of the oven. Time to cool. Like seconds, you know, now you got to be careful, overdone or underdone. So this is like this another sequence as time's going down. Checking the ovens. Jamie's a little bit, his doesn't look like it's done. But everybody else is looking in. A few more minutes, Jamie says. Phil is shortbread white chocolate bars. So white chocolate fudge covered in chocolate. Very sweet, they said, a little bit. Then we see Phil's a lorry driver. He's a motorcyclist. Brings baked goods to his motorcycling club. Always nice to have a baker show up. Orange cranberry white chocolate fudge bar. So orange zest, who doesn't like that? Biscuits are cooling, but Jamie's are not. 70% cocoa, somebody. Stuff's getting mixed together. Green and white chocolate for Helena. Anything witchy, I'd love to make. People are painting their molds with chocolate, making sure that stuff gets set. Priya's having a little bit of trouble. Perfectionist Priya pushing herself in the Pilates studio. I'm jelly now. Ruby Barfi biscuit bar. Barfi's an Indian milk sweet, cardamom shortbread, and new ruby chocolate. It's a specific type of cocoa bean, slightly tangy. And Prue tries it. She says, it's interesting how cardamom will work with that. We'll see. Henry jumps. He's trying to blend stuff. Everybody's putting their stuff in the molds, trying to get it to come together. Amelia's not doing a mold. She's going to put it in the freezer and then do it. She makes the ASAP Rocky joke, I think. Somebody's hitting marshmallows a little soft. Phil's trying to get his cooled down too. Jamie's, everything's hot for Jamie. Henry's putting his mousse in, but it's might be a little too, no, somebody else's nougat's too soft. Trying to smooth the edges, that might work. Then we get a drone shot, half an hour left, cracking on. Everybody's trying to decorate and assemble and having drop and stuff. Rosie's got some nice feathering going. People are crossing their fingers, a lot of like working the molds and getting it into the freezer or the fridge. 15 minutes. So now you get into this faster moving sequence. People are taking stuff out of the freezer. Jamie's shortbread's falling apart. People are starting to get worried. Stuff's coming out of the things, one biscuit bar at least. And oh boy. Some of them look really good and some of them don't. Phil's spraying stuff. Jamie's come out, but they're not. Wow, whose are those? They look really good. Helena's decorating her fingers. A lot of them are really good together, but their decorations, Prius did not freeze enough. Michelle's ones look really, and then Michelle goes over and starts to help Jamie because she's already done, and hers look really well put together. Alice is trying to get hers done. Everybody's, you know, last minute changes. Other people need help too. So Priya needs help. So everybody, Helena, a bunch of other people are helping Priya. So real, a lot of teamwork again. Most people are helping either Jamie or Priya. And that's it. Time is up. A lot of hugs go around. Put your signature bakes at the end of your benches. Henry lies down on the ground. Nobody's listening, they say. And they say, Michelle, yours look fit. But she says, I haven't tasted it. So Amelia's are a little melted, I think. So she's dreading judging. And now the chocolate biscuit bars will be judged by Paul and Prue. So they say hi to Michelle first. Hers look very fancy. They look like a little bit like Fruity Pebbles. Love the splash of color. They're all identical, which Paul likes. They taste their tastes. Definitely tastes like Bakewell. A little almond, good texture. Temptation to eat more, Prue says, is impossible, so she has another bite. That makes Sandy laugh. Paul says, never had anything like it before. Exceptional. Sandy says, well done. Unique. So she's happy. Then Amelia's up. They say rustic. Don't think it's cooked properly. Could have done with more baking. It feels like a paste. Nougat's delicious, though. Amelia says, thank you. We go to Henry. Very neat. Nice shine. Mousse right around the shortbread. Mousse needs longer to set, but the flavors are good. Beautiful. Ambitious to do 6 layers. Cardamom lifts it up, pulled it off. Just got to get that mousse. Then we go to David. They look messy on the side. Nougat sloughed out of it, sloughed out of it or something. And they say, thanks, David, for using a term. And they say, I like the blend, like the taste, but it just looks messy. Slacked and sloughed or something. Michael's next. They look chunky but neat. Okay, good. And the marshmallow is not good. The textures are good except for the marshmallows. Something not right about it. Not said. Prue likes the lemony middle. A genius, she says. Lemon and rosemary are good. Marshmallow has a sweetness. Dark chocolate, bitter. Good blend of flavors. So he's really happy. He almost falls down, faints, and they say, you need a chair? Thank you, Michael. And Rose cheers him on. Then we go to Steph, a fairly neat uniform. I like the idea of a coffee biscuit. Prue takes first bite. Paul's chewing it. Very crumbly. Says, semolina. Yeah, that's it. I like the crumbliness, Prue says. Less keen on the coffee flavor. It's too strong. Then we go to Phil. They look a messy. Phil's got a nice purple, like a grape purple shirt on. And it's hard to cut through it. Fudge, sugar rush, Prue says. Pleasant. Get the cranberries and the bitterness at the end. But you need that because it's so sweet. Does not look good, though. And they say, take what you can get, Phil. And we go to Helena. They're studying the fingers. She nailed it, they say. That's a joke with it because Sandy says that. Paul's got a look. Bit boring. Biscuits, slightly stale flavor. Maybe it's a matcha. Prue says maybe you don't like matcha. And Prue says they're very original. Then we go to Alice, nicely made. Let's have a look inside. I like nice hokey cokey flavor. You got so many textures, including the honeycomb. Peanuts, fantastic. You've done really well. Thank you. Well done. She sighs relief. Thank you. Then we go to Priya, Rufy, the Ruby Barfy Biscuit. This is a little plain. She said, I ran short on time. She was like, this is my first time having ruby chocolate. Nice kick, but too thick. Not getting the biscuit flavors because the chocolate overpowered it. And that's it. Thank you. Thank you. They go to Jamie and they see what happened. He goes, caramel's too hot. They look like biscuits after an earthquake. Awful lot of caramel in there. And pretty sickly. Can't identify flavors. Oh, poor Jamie, man. Looks dreadful. Bruce said, I wish it tasted fantastic, but, and funnily not, so that's got to be hard. And then they go to Rosie. Look magnificent, nice feathering. You take a bite, they cut to Alice, they cut to Paul, cut to Rosie, cut to Prue. Prue loves it. Not too sweet, nice balance between the lime and the mint, Paul says. Biscuits beautiful. This is a biscuit bar focused on the biscuits, and it's biscuit week. Your biscuits are beautiful. Very good. So she looks, they liked it. They liked it. So she's happy, really relieved. Elena's not happy. Matcha's a hard flavor to sell. Jamie's like, I was hoping the flavor would be better, but it might have been worse. Alice is very happy. Alice has a kind of bright magenta dress on, which really pops. So we see a bird on the pond. We see the stream. We see the tent. Then the baker's in the shrouded, whatever that is called, gingham shroud or whatever. Everybody's favorite part of the day, ha, 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 technical challenge, mystery, great sweets, delightful, Paul. Any words of wisdom? These are a favorite of my dad who said to be accurate and neat. Anybody know Paul's dad? They all laugh at that. And they say, okay, we'll excuse you two for now. And they say, what are they going to be doing? Sandy's joke. She says, Prue's crimping Paul's hair. He likes to look nice. So worth the effort. 12 fig rolls. These actually do sound delicious. Compared to a fig Newton, these would be like comparable, but they sound much more elevated, especially because it would be a more better dough, maybe. I would love to try these fresh made. But basically a fig, like a slight spiced fig inside of a biscuit. Is it going to be shortbread? Is it not? 90 minutes. Soft biscuit or it's kind of, is it a biscuit? Is it a cake? That's the other thing. Lightly spiced, lightly. One person's never had a fig roll. If it's Paul's dad's favorite, we got to remember that. Jamie needs to redeem himself. Mr. Hollywood, fig rolls, Bruce says. A simple challenge. He goes, yeah, not as easy as you think, though. So several hard parts. The biscuit dough on the outside. It's got to be cakey, but soft and crumbly. But not too much because you don't want it to fall apart. The accuracy of how you cut it so they all look the same. And don't overbake them. You know, they should be pale biscuit color, not overbaked. Beautifully balanced, the cinnamon and the ginger. Just a hint, though. Paul says, me and my dad would watch wrestling on Saturdays and eat them. And he could go eat a pack of them, Paul says. Well, roll on, fig rolls. So this is going to be interesting. Very simple instructions. Make the biscuit dough. Can't believe he makes, so everybody's doing it. We see an early mistake, icing sugar for dusting and Muscovo sugar for the thing, but Helena mixes up the two. She wasn't sure. I don't know if it was just like that would happen to me. I didn't read things. Then you got to put it in the fridge. Noel has like a dinosaur junior sweat. Like, I don't know, that's like a throwback, I guess, but for some people. But it's like I think it was an album cover, but he has it as a sweater. I'm thinking maybe is another piece of piece art from somewhere else. But he says, man, these figs do not look appetizing. Then you got to blitz it into a paste, Amelia says. And I think Michael says, you can always add, but you can't take away. Paul said that once. I remember it. Elena's putting a lot in there, though. So everybody's trying to, you know, get the balance of the flavors. Don't want it to be too sweet, though. Amelia's dough's already been resting for 30 minutes. So everybody's rolling it out, which ain't easy. So we have a rolling sequence. There's 45 minutes left. Noel says that from under a table. He says he's looking for Prue's earring. Then they divide it up, pipe the filling in, make it neater. Does not look appealing. Then they got to roll it. Everybody says, well, how are we supposed to roll it? Is it a Swiss roll or a roll and seal, Michael says, like a fold and roll? And Helena's are very sticky, obviously, because she had different sugars. Then you got to cut it into six equal pieces, transfer it onto a baking sheet. Fills are a little bit small, he says. Then Rosie saves somebody who's only has six. Michael? Then there's a half hour fig roll fun left. Sandy's got a blue sweater with a rainbow down the center. It's just cool. And you got to put imprints on the top and dust them, or maybe bake them and dust them. They've been baked yet? I guess not. Priya has biscuit in her hair. She goes, yeah, that's how I show that I've been working hard. I like having it in there. And then they don't know how long to bake them. Well, it's called Paul's Dad, Phil says. Not very long. 20 minutes. Amelia says, I'm going for golden brown. Alice says 15. Jamie puts an egg wash on his to give himself an extra edge, make it look nice. Then we have the oven watching, finger crossing sequence, a shot of the outside of the tent, more oven watching. And people are like, I don't know what I'm looking for. Sandy plays rock, paper, scissors. Let's see. There's 5 minutes left. Amelia's the first out of the oven. 5 minutes remaining. She takes hers out first. And everybody else is waiting. Then people start taking them out. David takes his out. Michael does. He's like, shouldn't I? Phil says, mine look fig rollish to me. Everybody's counting. Helena only has 11 somehow. So she's like, how did I do that? 1 minute left. Also the, what are those called? The wrists? What are those called? Our rainbows on Sandy's sweater. Okay. So everybody's, starting to assemble and dust, and the technical challenge ends. Let's say majority of them look good. Some people are small and soft. Some are puffy. Elena's like, I can't believe I only did 11. And they say, put it behind whoever's photograph you want, Sandy says. And then we go through I'm not going to remember his name. It's the 12 thing. They start off with, I can see. Okay, no, I don't. Who's that? Phil, overbaked, but they taste good. Pastry's nice. Alice, maybe? Look identical, don't they? Yep. Cakey. Crisp, but flavor's good. Then Henry, maybe? The nice color, a bit small. And get the ginger, yeah. Then, who's that? I don't know. They're going fast now. Amelia's broken up, overbaked. Pastry's tough, overworked. Priya, this is more like the right shape. A nice, quite full, nice pastry, but strong ginger. Then Rosie. Huh, it's not the same shape. It's the flavors. No cinnamon or ginger. Too dry. Then David. These aren't flattened. Beautiful, though. Plenty of filling. Delicious. Then Helena's. They say there's an issue with that one. There's only 11, too. And this is the least of the problems. This is not a fig roll. And then they say that Jamie's looks like a sausage roll. They're very neat, tough, flat and uneven. See how rough it is. Needed longer. That's Helena, maybe? Oh, no, it's, I don't know. I lost track, everybody, at this point. I'm still learning, you know. Good spice for somebody. Overflavored. Then they go back and they keep trying them to see which ones they like best. 12th place, Helena. 11, Jamie. 10, Steven? That can't be right. There's no one named Steven, is there? There's Jamie. Steph. Then Amelia. Michelle. Priya, 7th. Henry, 6th. Rosie, 5th. Michael, 4th. Phil comes in 3rd. They're like, do you like fig rolls? He goes, no. Overbaked slightly. David is 2nd, and Alice comes in 1st. And we go back to the talking heads. 3rd, I'll take. Jamie says, things aren't looking good. Amelia's like, oh boy, I got to finish strong. And Helena says, yeah, I really got to do really well at this next one. So we get the showstopper. And for the showstopper, it is an edible 3D biscuit sculpture. You get a shape and texture 4 hours. So I don't know, like, I guess this one is like, not a cake, though. It's a biscuit sculpture. So it's because it's made from biscuits and not cakes, I guess. So the camera goes through. I don't know if we saw a walk-in for day 2. Well, Amelia has like a Flavortown, like a Fieri style shirt on too, which I thought was cool. Paul's hands are in his pockets. I think that's his one of his signature things. Treat your biscuit dough as a sculptor would treat clay. Michelangelo a dough. They say, what are you wrapping, Noel? And different shapes, textures, and thicknesses of biscuits combined together to be a stunning 3D sculpture. And you have 4 hours. And marks get set, bake. So they go to work. They get, you know, get your butter mixing. Michael's nervous. Don't bite off more than you can chew. But it better be good, Jamie says. Helena's like, I got to get this. I can't panic. Otherwise, I'm going to be out. Bruce says, this is a jolly challenge. Technically difficult, so you're going to have to be really creative. Paul talks about putting the flavor structurally sound. You're going to use a shortbread or gingerbread, maybe, because that's more structurally stable. It's got to look amazing. But this is a baking competition, Bruce says. If it doesn't taste good, I don't care what it looks like. They go to Helena first. They say, tell us about your sculpture. She's making a web-based being. And they say, that doesn't sound delicious. Shortbread, egg, lemon zest, Earl Grey shortbread with tea right out of the tea bag. Then Steph is making something cuddly. A cat named Ginge, a ginger cat. Play on words. Steph's Ginger the Cat with brandy snap tail, nutmeg, clove, and cinnamon. A lot of ginger. And she says, if they don't like the ginger, I don't care. Amelia's working on lemon, cardamom, pistachio, coconut. So everybody's putting their biscuits in, working their doughs. Can't be crumbly. Mixing, mixers are trying. The larger you go, the sturdier you'll have to be. Rosie's making a big chicken, spicy gingerbread, spicy chicken, tough independent chicken that they with 212 biscuits. Very ambitious, but something, you know, doing well in the other ones made me relaxed. Phil's also doing a tortoise named Tina that him and his sister had. Tortoise has already passed on, Tina the tortoise. Citrus, cherry peel, almonds, brandy snap. Could you take it for a walk? So maybe a skateboard ride. Say, well, what's the thing? Have lived a full life. So they're talking tortoises, like a new podcast, Tortoise Notes. Things interesting. Would you make it for tortoises or people who work with tortoise? Things interesting to tortoise. Michael's making Hamish the cow, Highland cow with chili in it. 5 teaspoons of chili with a real kick, fiery. Michael has a shirt on, like kind of like 80s neon. Priya's making the Beast of Rocky Mountain, orange cinnamon chat biscuits. Michelle's also doing a dragon, so no pressure. And they say, yours is going to be better than mine, Priya. Michelle's is a Welsh dragon, cardamom macaroons, pistachio. Her rugby team is the Scarlets. So doing it for Wales. Body of the chicken is going to be gingerbread for Rosie. Priya's doing her wings. Got to get everything in the oven, you know. Steph, a head of ginger, chocolate biscuits for Michael that bake on the gingerbread. Oh, interesting. Phil hopes his tortoiseshell holds. Equally essential are the biscuit decorations, the smaller pieces. So they start working on those. Time pressure's on. Henry's up. What are you doing, Henry? He's making an Oregon. Paul has to go on a thing about that whole joke tangent. But it's a chapel Oregon with almond sweets. But Paul says, you know, he keeps making jokes about it. He says, thanks for talking about the organ with me. Jamie's making a guitar because I play the guitar. Various parts, the thing with the strings, the bridge to the neck, Sandy says, chocolate gingerbread and then a lemon biscuit. He says, that went well yesterday. This is a different recipe, though, so it should be a bit better. And everybody's measuring stuff out. Now, David, is that David, right? Yeah, he's doing something a little more classy, like wedding flowers. They should be out of this world. Fennel, lime, caraway. Citrusy, Bruce says. Yeah, citrus first and then the spice and fragrance. Hope you can pull it off. Then Amelia starts working on piping sea style. She's doing a swimming dolphin with a kid. Viennese whirl, cream, orange extract, lemon shortbread. Just don't want to run out of time. But she's pressing like assembly numbers into her biscuits, which is really smart. 1A, 2A, 12A. I thought that was brilliant. Sandy has no mask on, so there's not much time left. Gingerbread wings out of the oven. Monumental test. Uniform bake. We'll find out. This is where the skill meets the road or whatever. People are running around, different batches of biscuits, limbs out, ears, feathers, cardamom biscuits, 10 minutes in check, Florentines for Phil, a lot of brandy strap, macaroons, or wool, like, so Alice is doing a New Zealand lamb. In a shortbread pen, a cute lamb, like a cartoon one, chocolate biscuits, coconut lime, wool. So then they're talking wool and perspective and distance. And Noel says, and then Noel says, I'm a bumblebee. I can't see depth. And Al says, listen, I don't have anything to say to that. I got to work on this stuff. So he kind of stumps her. She's doing some building of the fences. people are starting to do their construction, risky bits. Like if the tortoise shell didn't come through for Phil, he'd be toast. Caramel getting made, assembly is the hardest part because you got to kind of glue everything together. So everybody's using, a lot of people are using caramel. Some people are using frosting. Amelia's got blue frosting. Alice has white frosting because it's a sheep. And she's working on putting it together. Rosie's using some sort of caramel. So Steph, Henry takes the stuff out of the oven and it unfortunately falls apart. But he says, oh no, it might be stuffed. And everybody's, yeah, more putting it together, different sugar glues. And then Sandy makes the Oregon jokes, two more Oregon jokes with Henry. And people are trying to laugh. You start to see really bright colors, especially with the two dragons, like yellows, blues. Priyas are in blues. But yeah, they're saying, are you putting it together yet? And then Michael's having trouble with his assembly. He really gets down. That's not like maybe he did it like he says it's gonna look messy, it's not coming together. Priya gives him a hug. She goes, come on, you can do it. And then Sandy says, you can do this, and he says, I can't. She says, I said you can do this, you can do it. Half hour left. This is when we see all the brandy snap, which I know I've had before. It seems delicious. I think it's called, I don't know what it's called here. Maybe it's called brandy snap. There's decorating, there's piping, there's ceiling going on. And then we start to see what David's working on is very classy. Oh, sponge sugar for Helena. And yeah, a lot of decorative stuff. David's is going for like simple class, like elegant, I would say. Henry stained glass windows of rock candy, maybe. Everything's looking good. It's like really like a delicious challenge. Mila's trying to pipe hair. I'm the version of her riding the dolphin or swimming with the dolphin. Henry's piping music notes. People are working on their faces and stuff for their characters and trying to get them to stay together. The neck of Jamie's guitar has to be propped up, which makes sense. Now you're getting everybody trying to, like, sighing, stressing, oh, my days. And when they say step away, everybody's like, holy cow. But the sheep, there's a lot of them that look really good. Even Jamie's is a guitar. It looks like a guitar, and it looks like it would taste good. And we have everybody sitting, and they say, okay, bring up your showstoppers. David, do you need a hand? And he says, no, I can get it. And Noel says, because you got those great muscles. Is this wedding spray? And they say, beautiful work, amazing, skillful decoration, beautifully done. Very delicate. They start crunching on it. And Bruce says, delicious. Really, fennel and citrus work together. It's amazing. Nice snap. You really thought it through. Excellent, David. Well done. Excellent. And Michael's up. And they say, yours looks great. Ingenious. Some chili, just a little bit of chili. And they say, oh boy, there's a lot of chili. Prue has to inhale. Underbaked, though. It's gone soft. But heat's coming through is great. Then they say, Henry's a little disappointed that it's like kind of simple. No keyboard. Lid's closed. And they say, okay, Henry. Then they do the brandy snap first. It's crunchy, crisp, but a bit too thick. Flavors are delicious, but your stuff's too thick. You could have done better. Then Steph's up. They say, very clever, cat gingerbread house, kind of. They start with the ear, nice and thin, beautiful snap, a kick of ginger at the end, slightly overbaked though. They go to fill, very clever, curved legs on the tortoise, like how it goes along. Sandy loves Prue, does a tortoise impression, made her day. Paul's like, I'd like to see more color on the Florentines. Needed to be in the oven done, underdone, way underdone. It's too bad. They go to Amelia's. They wanted the dolphins too simple. And disappointed that they, Bruce says, you stacked things instead of building it like it was clay. That's what we asked for. But nice snap. Looked baked well. Could carry more flavor, Paul says. A million nods. Didn't blow my mind. Okay. Oof. Amelia takes hers. She does have, she represents Flavortown, though. So she says, I did my best. Rosy celebration of legs the chicken. Looks incredible. Stunning, Prue says. They love the biscuits, which taste great. Very delicate, very good. Gingerbread soft. So then I say, that's too bad. Needed longer in the oven. Fascinating, though. Artistically fantastic. It's a triumph. You're a clever vet, Prue says. And they got Priya. They say elegant, exquisite piping, work of art. Color's lovely. Prue takes a bite. A little disappointing, though, on the chat biscuit. Tough. Should be delicate. Look if it's good, though. But this is style and substance. We need both. They go to Michelle's, who has a flip problem. They say, this looks clumsy. Ran out of time. Yeah. They say, tell me about the ingredients. Pistachio, cardamom, lemon zest, and coconut. They start chewing at it. And Prue says, this is one of the most interesting biscuits I've ever tasted. Delicious. Packed with flavor. Paul says, texture's beautiful. You've done Wales proud. So then we go to Alice. Looks great. She says, thank you. Very small, big sheep in a small field. Very sweet. Macaroons look fantastic. Taste great. Coconut and chalk, white chocolate and coconut come through. We cut from, we've seen Amelia shot there and a Helena shot. Breaks down beautifully, well baked. Love the whole sculpture. It's funny and fine piece of work. Thank you so much. Then Jamie goes, they say, well, it looks like a guitar, but very simple, thick and clumsy, too much icing, piping's not the best, ouch. But then they bite into it, I think. No, that's when we go to a focus pull to Amelia there. Beautiful biscuit, though. Light lemon flavor coming through. So, biscuit's delicious. Decoration's not bad. Like the color, just clumsy. They say you could have done better. Then we have Helena's web-based being. Very sculptural, they say. Superb. Impressive. Prue takes a bite. Earl Grey's interesting. Leaves in the shortbread. Never would have thought of that, but it works. And they bite it. They say, this is nice and bitter, beautiful, very interesting. They give it to Noel as a pet almost. Everybody laughs. And they say, overall, great job. Artistic flair, magical. Then we have a talking head sequence. One more shot at Jamie looking stressed. People trying to smile. Elena's euphoric, you know, but I got sweaty palms still. I'm worried. Jamie was happy with it, that the shortbread was good, but it could have gone better. It's just the pressure of the tent. They haven't seen me at my best, and now it's out of my hands. Amelia's like, I'm disappointed. You know, this could be trouble for me. What if they vote two people out? That'll make it worse for me. So they show everybody thinking. They do a lot of focus pulling on that, which is cool. Now it's decision time. Who will be Star Baker? Who will be asked to leave? Sandy says, I never thought I'd say, what about that chicken? Amazing, powerful. So Rosie's doing well overall. Some people excelled. David, showstopper, was amazing. Those flowers, Alice, made me laugh, well-baked. So those are the Star Bakers. And then Helena saved, she did so well. And that's kind of how a showstopper works, huh? You can go up, you can go down. Amelia could be in trouble. She struggled. Biscuits aren't her thing. Jamie, 11th in the technical, not good in the signature, and then clumsy-looking showstopper. Either one of those could go. Or two, Sandy says. So, and they say, oh, yeah, or two. Then Noel says, could we go? She says, okay. Then we get a shot to the baker. Sandy says, well done. Week two's done now. Now she goes, it's not going to be a surprise at all who Star Baker is. So they came in first place in every single challenge. So the Star Baker's Alice. And everybody claps. There's some smiling. Alice is clearly relieved. And Noel says, well, I got the job announcing the other side. And they zoom. And the person who's leaving us, so they do say person. They switch back and forth between Amelia and Jamie with slow zooms. And they say, Jamie, sorry, mate. They nod. Everybody starts hugging one another. Amelia's relieved. A lot of big hugs. Jamie's like, yeah, mixed emotions. I'm gutted. But proud of myself for what I've done. A lot of genuine hugs here. And they say, DePaul says, don't stop baking, man. He says, it's a great experience. I don't want to end. I'll miss everybody. He gets a teary-eyed. And Helena says, like, she goes, what a bittersweet moment. You know, she goes, Jamie has to leave, but she's also, I'm also relieved. Amelia's kind of like through to next week. Now I'm determined to do better and prove I'm good enough to be here. And Alice says, I can't believe it. I'm Star Baker. Thank you so much. She hugs Prue. She's laughing. I'm happy, over the moon. She calls two people who are eating salad. She gets I got Star Baker, and you're on speakerphone. They say, we're eating salad, which is kind of funny because it's like you're not on FaceTime. They say, oh, my goodness, I got salad in my teeth. And that's how it ends. Oh, darling. Yeah. So another really good episode. Glad, great cast. And a lot of good hugging and loving. So that's all we could ask for. So good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Lorraine, Carrie, and Stacy. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Remus, Kirsten, and Adam. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Bong, Tom, and Ashley. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Jonathan, Faldwin, and Liam. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Thek, Emily, and Phoenix. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Glenn, Papa, and Steven. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Emma, Lori, and Rishi. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Evan, Lee, and Susan. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Lily, Chris, and Walt. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. I want to thank Shauna and Electric Laney. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. And I want to thank Susan and Barbara. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Thanks for supporting the show directly, those of you that support us on Apple Podcasts directly, and those of you that support our sponsors. Not only you get to hear the thank yous, but we're thankful because the show would not exist without those of you that support the show directly for free. Actually, even the paid version wouldn't exist without the free podcast. So it's kind of, you make the free podcast possible, which makes the paid, it's strange. But anyway, a great free way to support the show or podcasting in general is just let people know about podcasting in general. Let them know about the podcast you listen to. But do it in a soft sell way. Talk about the podcast app you use, the features you like about it. And then months or years later, they'll ask you how, or they'll tell you about the pod. They'll say, do you listen to any podcasts? And then you'll know in deep inside you planted that seed. So that's pretty sweet. We also have over 500 free episodes in the archives because of sponsors like this Tuck You In sponsor, or I'll be asking you for to support me, and or I'll be asking for some kind of support here. So thanks, everybody, and good night. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach, I sleep on my side, I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody.